Today, we're looking at how Papua New Guinean men are dealing with the changing roles of women in PNG. Dr. Anastasia Sai recently completed a doctoral thesis looking at how men define their own masculinity and what they think of women rising to positions of leadership and power. She interviewed 40 professional men from the corporate, legal, education, and non-government sectors and found that they were generally uncomfortable with the idea of women taking senior roles and, even worse, being their boss. Dr. Sai's study was inspired by her own father, who was something of a new age man, helping with the household chores and encouraging his daughters to study and succeed in the world outside the village. But it appears he is in the minority, as Heather Jarvis found out.
Dr. Anastasia Sai, welcome on the mat on Radio Australia's Pacific Beat.
Good afternoon.
You have written for your PhD a very interesting thesis called TAMOT, Masculinities in Transition in Papua New Guinea, which we're going to discuss in some detail today because it's really, really fascinating. But before we do that, what does TAMOT mean and in what language, by the way?
Yes. Tamot is, in my language, which is a dialect of the Bel language spoken around Medeng township area and the villages surrounding Medeng. And it means men, male or boy. Yes, Tamot is, in my language, referring to men, male or boy. Yes.
Okay, and continuing on from that, masculinities in transition in Papua New Guinea. Tell us a bit more about what your research was focusing on.
My research was focusing on men and their identities of themselves as men in this period of transition. I was looking at how men define themselves as men and what kind of expressions they use to define themselves.
And why were you interested in that? What inspired you to explore that particular thing?
I wanted to understand how men describe themselves, how men express themselves, because I grew up experiencing from my own family and my father as someone who was not dominant at all, and I wanted to know why some men want to be dominant, why some men want to have the center stage. Well, my father wasn't a man like that, or isn't a man like that. He's still alive, and not dominant at all, and not domineering, and didn't want to force his ways at all on us, his children and his family. So I wanted to find out why, in general, men want to have more power and more dominance. And so I embarked on this project.
So that's really interesting stuff. And from what I've read about your father, he was quite ahead of his time, really, wasn't he? He's a bit of a new age man. He encouraged,
yes.
he did some housework. He encouraged you to do some things which would, I guess, be considered more male activities when you were a child.
Yes.
He encouraged you to go to school and do well. He sounds like he was very inspirational.
Yes.
So this, of course, got you to thinking, as you say, why are some men more intent, I suppose, on being the dominant male? You've gone out, you've done this PhD thesis. Have you found the answers that you were looking for?
Yes. In that, I discovered that men and masculinities is a continuum of identities, male identities. There are men who are dominant and want to be dominant and domineering and want to have the center stage and power. And there are men who are less dominant, like my father, who do not mind at all working with women and letting women come on the center stage and women having their expressions and wanting to have their say among men. And I am quite excited to know that there are men in PNG who are already involving women and including women in activities and having women have their say, but there are the majority who still want to hold on to that power and not have women come on the foreground and have their say and have a voice.
Well, let's go into that in a bit more detail. Now, you surveyed 40 men and found, as you say, that very few of them were comfortable with the idea of women being their superiors or perhaps in some cases even their equals in the workplace.
Yeah.
What do you think was behind that kind of, I suppose, it, in a way, it's a bit of a fear, isn't it?
Yes. What is behind this reluctance of letting women come in the foreground is fear of losing power and identity, fear of losing that culture that says, yes, men must be dominant, men must be in power and authority. But I personally do not see that as something that should be feared, because men still are respected for who they are. Men still have a lot to gain, and women do give that power and support to men all the time, every day. And so they have nothing to lose, but men fear that they are losing. But in this time of transition where women are becoming more vocal and more participating in the workforce, and they are independent and having more power, earning income and contributing to the family's income, men, I see, are feeling more threatened by that and then losing their power in a way.
So their masculinity, which I guess is at the very core of their identity, is being threatened.
Yes, yes, exactly. And women are getting the focus of all the projects that are coming when women are being empowered. Yes, men are finding that they are losing their sense of power and identity, and therefore they are reluctant to continue to support women.
Radio Australia.
I think this is a scenario, really, isn't it, Anastasia, which has been played out in countries all around the world, including Australia. And I know that that here too, there are many men who are threatened by women's success, who don't like having female bosses. And I'm wondering whether that fear of men, that reluctance to perhaps let women in, has results in well, we always talk about the glass ceiling, say, in the corporate world, in the government world, where women can reach a certain height and then they find that the boys' club kind of kicks in and they can't get any higher.
Yes, that is the whole scenario here, that men are beginning to see that women empowered can contribute a lot and can have a lot of say. And can become leaders as well. But many of them find that if they do, then men do not have that center stage and continue to be dominant. So there is a certain reluctance in empowering them to say, yes, women can be good leaders and women can lead. And women can become executives and women can participate in decision making. And women do not get that support in many instances, in a lot of ways, in the corporate world.
Dr. Anastasia Tsai from Divine Word University in Madang, Papua New Guinea, talking about some of the findings of her doctoral thesis called Tamot, Masculinities in Transition in Papua New Guinea. You're on the mat on Radio Australia's Pacific Beat, and just to be fair, I thought I should at least find one Papua New Guinean male who was willing to openly share his thoughts on this very interesting topic. Charlie is in his mid-20s, which is a good 20 or more years younger than the professionals surveyed in Anastasia Tsai's thesis. Charlie's an information and communications technology professional with one of PNG's big corporations, and his partner is in the same profession. I asked him if he was surprised by Dr. Tsai's findings on attitudes to women in leadership.
No, I think it's very true. I think from where I grew up, like in my family, we usually refer to men as like being leaders, natural leaders. Yeah. So I think those findings, they really speak out for themselves.
Well, Charlie, yes. Tell us a bit more about where you grew up, and also while you were growing up, what were you taught about what it means to be a man in your culture?
Especially from my dad's family, like while I was growing up, they usually tell us to, you know, like men, when they get married, we usually keep the family name. So, like when I was a child, it was very important to my dad that I get educated well, get a good name for myself by, you know, going to uni and maybe getting a good job. It will all come back to my dad's family name. All the praise and all that will go back to my family and need to be recognized under the family name, especially from a guy's point of view. But for the ladies, like when they get married, they usually use their spouse's name, like their surname and all that. So in that respect, the ladies, my sisters especially, my dad doesn't really worry about them too much, because in a sense that when they get married, or my dad thinks that, okay, they'll get married to this guy and that guy's family can look after the lady, and that's it. But for guys, they put more emphasis on us, because